Hello, listeners of the Accents podcast on WUKY. I'm your host, Katerina Stoykova, and I have the pleasure of serving as the director of the Kentucky Book Festival, a program of Kentucky Humanities. The 2024 installment of KBF will take place on November 2nd at Joseph Bate Booksellers from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Today's episode features an author who will participate in the festival. This is poet and musician and children's writer Mike Norris. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Accents.
Hi, Katerina. Good to be here.
So let's start the conversation with the collaboration that you and Minnie Atkins have. Is there a story here? When, how did you meet Minnie Atkins and how did you decide to collaborate?
Well, I met Minnie Atkins in 1992, and we met because of Mikhail Baryshnikov. I was working at Center College, and he was getting ready to perform at the Norton Center for the Arts, and it was homecoming weekend. And I normally wouldn't have worked that weekend, but it was so busy with him being on campus and a trustee meeting that they asked me to come in and squire Minnie and her husband Garland around campus. And I did. And I don't know if you've ever had this sensation, but about 5 minutes after I met Minnie, I felt like I'd known her my whole life. And she told me later that she felt the same way about me. We just clicked. It was about 3 years later that I realized that her creative spirit reminded me of my grandmother, who I used to stay with a lot growing up. She was an artist with a needle and thread. And Minnie told me about a year after that she had just lost her brother Edgar about 6 weeks before we met, and that I reminded her of him. So we just had a kind of a special connection.
Kind of like meeting long-lost relatives.
Yes, right.
Family.
Right. Yeah, Minnie feels like family to me very, very, very much. And the way we actually got started working together, I noticed about Minnie almost immediately, she's the most generous person I ever met. And when we were going around Center College's campus, she had brought a whole bunch of these necklaces with carved animals, a bear, a fox, a rooster, and attached with a piece of leather. And a lady would brag on it, and she'd say, "Well, here, honey, just take it home with you." And she'd put it on their neck. Now, her husband, Garland, was more of a businessman than an artist. And he saw not an act of generosity, but $50 going off her neck. And he would frown and turn red. She'd just laugh and put on another one. Somebody else would like it. "Well, here, honey, just take it home." True to form, she had heard that I played guitar over the course of the weekend. She had brought some carvings, and she gave me about a 12-inch tall blue guitar. And I thought, well, what can I give her? I don't really make things like that, but I did have a cassette tape that I had recorded about 2 years before with the Raggedy Robin String Man, and I gave her that tape. She called me up after about a week. She said, "I wish you hadn't given me that tape." I said, "Well, why?" She said, "It's got that song on it about the bright blue rooster, and I can't quit thinking about it, and it's aggravating me." I said, "Well, just lay down and rest. Maybe you'll feel better when you get up." She didn't say much. About a week later, I got a big box in the mail, and it had this beautiful carved blue rooster, about 13 inches tall.
Wow.
And so I put it up on my mantle, and then I couldn't quit thinking about it. And in about another week, I called her back, and I said, "You know, many of this song's got the bright blue rooster, the three-legged hog, the wore-out tractor, the no-count dog. If you'll make all the figures, I think we could do a children's book." She didn't say she would or she wouldn't. But another week went by, and I got another box, and it had a three-legged hog in it. The third week, I got a worn-out tractor. And the fourth week, I got a bigger box, and it had two dogs in it. And she put a little note in there: "You decide which one's the most no-count." So that's how we got started, and we've been at it ever since.
One of my questions was, what came first, the figurines or the poems? And it sounds like it goes both ways.
It does go both ways. I wrote that song, which is identical to the text of that book, Bright Blue Rooster, our first one, before I ever knew of Minnie. We'd never met. I never knew even of her. But then after that, and after that book was well received, I wrote the next one sort of for her, which is called Sonny the Monkey, with a lot of figures that she makes. pretty much after the first one, the words would come first, and then she would do the carvings to match.
What's Minnie like? I've never met her.
Well, if you meet Minnie, you will meet a force of nature. And not in an overbearing way, but Minnie is just a wonderfully positive person. She's the best friend maker I've ever seen. And she's very positive and very affirming and very creative and very can do. And she's got the most effective work ethic that I've ever experienced. I was up there at her house one day and we were decorating some books to make collector's editions. You know, you can do a little better than that 10% if you decorate them up and put a CD in the back. We had worked a little over 3 hours, and I thought, well, at this time, you know, Minnie was in her late 80s, and I thought, well, you know, I shouldn't try to work her to death. And I said, well, let's just finish up this little bunch, and we can take a break, and then we can finish up. And she said, I said, we'll rest a little. And she said, well, let's just rest while we work. And so that she
does just rest while we work.
Yeah. She does it very easily. It's not like she's driving herself. It's just natural to Minnie.
These kind of things happen if you're doing your life's work. Work that you do gives you energy rather than tires you out.
That's exactly right. Minnie will sit and talk to you and never miss a beat and carve a fox while she's talking to you. It just comes very naturally to her.
And your latest book has its own song. I listened to it. I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm partial. That's based on one of the rhymes in the book. And I wanted to do something a little different. And I used to be an English teacher, and if we were talking about the rhythm to that poem, that'd be called dactylic. But it's a waltz rhythm, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And so it just started off, the poem came first. And since it was in waltz rhythm, I thought, well, I always do one song for each book, that ought to be the song. So Waltzing with Elephant did end up being the song.
And I saw the carvings that go with that, and it's about a dance, and it's not about an actual elephant. It's about a man with a long nose.
Right. Who's very big otherwise as well.
Yeah.
And I will say, Katerina, that that illustrates one of the themes that runs through the Mommy Goose books, and that is bullying. You know, we hear a lot about it these days on social media and playgrounds, schools, neighborhoods. But growing up in eastern Kentucky in the 50s and 60s, we were ahead of the curve on bullying. We had a lot of it. And anybody who looked a little different, sounded a little different, acted a little different was liable to get bullied. And one way they'd get bullied is they would get a nickname, and it wouldn't be one that they would choose for themselves. And that's the case of this young man who's really big and got a really long nose. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out what they named him.
That latest book that you're going to participate in the book festival with, that latest book that came out, it's called Mama Goose's Appalachian Melodies. A lot of them are not really nursery rhymes. These are not children's poems.
That's right. Sometimes I say to people that they're books written for adults and words that children can understand. But children respond well to them, I think, largely because of the carvings. But all of the rhymes are not the same. Typically, in all the books, I try to start out with some of the simpler, more humorous ones at first, and then they get a little bit more challenging as you go through it.
Did you test them on kids?
No.
No.
I test them on myself, and if I pass that test, I think that's good enough.
I will ask for you to read a few of them, if that's okay. Some of them are sad and some of them are funny. I found the following one funny. The parting.
The parting, okay. That's a situation that most men can identify with. And you see here a man standing, looks like he's combing his hair. It looks really more like he has a small rake. But Mommy Goose says in this one, the parting, He stands and grieves before the glass, what little left's going fast. And with the loss each racing year, the part creeps closer to his ear. He lifts his arm into position and rolls the comb with sly precision, up and over, now down the far side, so little to cover, so much to hide. He spreads it thin across the scalp, smears to close a tiny gap, gives one stray strand a final tap, then goes to get his baseball cap.
I love it. Brother Boyd.
Brother Boyd illustrates a theme that runs through the Mommy Goose book, as the parting does in a way, and that's the passage of time. And Brother Boyd, in Minnie's carving, is looking a little weather-worn, and he says, "As time tattoos what you love most, look in the mirror, but not too close."
I know.
I have to say, Katarina, I had LASIK surgery a while back, and I liked being able to read without glasses, but when I really took the bandages off and looked in the mirror, I thought, my God, you're 10 years older.
I changed my glasses once, and I did not like it. How about that? Ars Poetica. I love the poems that you have included in this book that are addressing the creative process. So I thought that maybe you can read The Scribbler.
The Scribbler, as many carve The Scribbler, has got an enormous pencil under his hand. And he says, "The weight of words, you have to bear it. Befriend your idea, never marry it."
I agree. Please say more about that.
Well, and that sort of leads to another theme of the books, and that is conflict. We have a lot of people in our state, in our country, around the world, butting heads. And when we get too married to our ideas, other people cease to be people and just become enemies. And that's taking that idea a little further, but I think it's always good to keep an open mind, as they say.
I thought that this poem was about being flexible when you have an idea of something to create in your creativity. Maybe you are thinking that you're going to be writing a novel and it ends up being a short story, and that's fine.
Yeah, I think it has that application too, for sure. And I find that the writing works better when it just starts with a phrase or even maybe just one word, and that leads to the next line and that leads to the next. And some famous writer, I can't remember exactly who it was, I think he was a British writer, said, if the writer laughs, the reader laughs. If the writer cries, the reader cries. If the writer's surprised, the reader's surprised. And I do find it works better if you follow the words rather than trying to herd them in a particular direction.
I agree. And one thing that I would add is, if the writer is bored, there is no way that the reader will read through it.
Right. That only works if you're trying to portray boredom.
So another poem that had Ars Poetica is one of the first ones about Mommy Goose.
Okay. Yeah, there's always a little bit in the front of the books that kind of introduces Mommy Goose as the writer. And I like to refer to myself as Mommy Goose's administrative assistant. And this says, about Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose is partial to books, and she's way older than she looks. She writes for food and for fun, and always claims the place she's from. Some friends asked the other day, what if they gave your words away? She said the rhymes were work and play, but lacking any other way, she'd write them if she had to pay.
Yeah, she'll try them even if she has to pay, right?
Yeah. And sometimes you do, in one way or another.
You know, talent isn't free.
That's right. priorities can be a terrible thing. They can help you achieve what you want, but then they can also rule you like a very harsh taskmaster.
You're a philosopher. I see that throughout your poems. Read us Remedy.
This Minnie's carving portrays a young man with his chin on his hand, sitting at a table, obviously putting off the work. He's not very happy. And Remedy says, putting off will make it worse. To feel better faster, do the hard thing first. And that sometimes is a hard thing.
Brian Tracy, he's an author, efficiency expert author, and he has this book called Eat That Frog.
I've heard of it. I haven't read it. I'm a little familiar with it.
Well, your two-liner poem is that book.
Yeah.
Another one, Ned at the Dance.
Okay. Well, Minnie's carving. She's got this young man, and from the context of the poem, he's out on the dance floor, and he's cutting a move, but you don't necessarily know that it would be one you'd want to emulate. Mommy Goose says, Ned at the dance. Ned was 20 and wanted a bride, so he went to the frolic to give it a try. The last thing Ned could do was dance, but he hit the floor and took a chance. Two young women sat on the side. Bad dancing, one whispers, stabs my eyes, and him without sense enough to quit. It looks more like he's having a fit. The other watched, nursing her chin. I've been gauging all these men. The others can dance, that one can't. But he's the very one I want. Her friend's eyes swelled, then her voice. Surely you'd not make such a choice. The other padded in time to the song. You study short, I study long. Sometimes it's this for that in a trade. He may not can dance, but he's not afraid. And those were the terms of the bargain she made. Because Ned dared, they raised 5 sons. All did well, but dancers, not one.
I love it. Do the hard thing first, even it makes you look not so good.
Right.
So basically, the right person will notice.
That's what happened here.
You know, it is wonderful that also children will read those, and they might be able to get some wisdom.
Well, you'd like to think so, but it's kind of like your kids. Once they go out into the world, you have to let them find their own fortune.
And then they say, oh, after they make that mistake, oh, that's what it meant. How about habits?
And in this one, Minnie has carved a man laying on what looks like a couch, asleep, but he's got 4 books down there on the floor. You have to look very close to read them. One of them is entitled Leisure. The other is entitled Idle Times. And the third one is titled Not Now, a Novel. Habits. Shirk the work, wear out the couch. Strow your clothes over the house. Leave the dishes in the sink. Spend it all before you think. Shade the truth to reach your ends. Say bad things about your friends. Brush your teeth, wash your hands, scrub the dirty pots and pans. Bend your back, bear the load, pay each person what is owed. Rule your temper when it swells, take the time to listen well. Habits tick and habits talk, through the daily take and give. Some make sand, some make rock, they are most of how we live. I give you a little footnote on that one. Most folks know the novelist Henry James, but his brother William James was a psychologist and in his own about as famous as Henry, and he wrote a wonderful essay on the power of habits, and I read that a long time ago, and I wish I had put it into application sooner, but it's a wonderful essay, and it's on the web if you want to look up Habits by William James.
Another thing that I love about this book is the wonderful messages that you deliver, such as us and them?
Us and them. Yeah, as Katarina, as I was saying earlier, you'd have to be living way back in a cave not to know that there's a lot of headbutting going on these days. And we divide up into two different sides, and typically our side is correct, in the right, well-intended, and the other side, we may not know a lot about them, but they are wrong, they have bad intentions, and we tend to lose sight of them as people. But Mommy Goose says, we are us and they are them. She is her and he is him. I am me and you are you, and they can be no less than two. But what if with some magic trick, us and them would make a switch, and we could learn to not forget the them is us we haven't met? Then all the we might come to trust that there's no them, but only us.
I think that is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And some of the poems are very sad.
Well, if you grow up in Eastern Kentucky, I think that's part of your birthright. It's a lot of sadness is everywhere, but
well, some poems deal with poverty and lack of food and medical service, and you know, also a lot of them have to do with aging, which is not particularly sad. But can you read us the directions?
This one has a kind of a road sign in it, and gets in a little plug for some of my favorite places: Huntingdon, West Virginia; Jackson in Breathitt County; Hindman, Kentucky, where the wonderful Hindman Settlement School is; and McKee, where I grew up. The directions: dry clean only, avoid baloney. Coffee is hot, unless it's not. Holler below, mountains above. Handle with care, do not remove. Objects are closer than they appear. It's way too late when they seem near.
What does Minnie think of the poems?
Minnie, she says, well, of all those poems, the one I understand the most is The Speckled Hen. And then she'll say, at 9:45, the speckled hen laid an egg with a double yolk. She danced around, then ran to town, carrying it in a poke. She said, now, I know what that speckled hen was up to, but we'll talk about them. And at first she'll say, well, I don't know what to carve here, and we'll come up with something. And a lot of the things, especially in the Mommy Goose books that I asked for, are not easy to carve. It's one thing to do a character with its hand just out, but if you do different gestures, they're hard. And she'll say, well, I can't do that. I say, well, just give it a try. And she will. She nails it every time. She likes the funny ones best.
So now that this book is out, do you have another one in the making?
I'm working on one right now that'd be very different from our other five books. This will be a retrospective of Minnie's career. And this one is for her, because your previous question implies it, for especially these Mommy Goose books, it was everything I wanted. And some of the things she had never carved before, and it's a lot of work. And I think you'd have to have Minnie's work ethic, and there'd have to be a lot of affection in the relationship to make this happen. She did more than 200 carvings for this.
That's amazing to me. Yeah.
And so this book will be, I've already taken about a little over 1,000 pictures, and I'm winnowing them down to, and when I say 1,000, that might be, there might be 12 or 15 pictures of just one carving, to try to get the right lighting, the right angle, just the right look. And so there's a long introduction that tells about her life, how she got into carving, how she was discovered. And then a lot of it will be kind of like an art book, a carving to a page, in some cases more than one. but I'm also talking to Minnie and getting her to tell a little about each carving. And Minnie can be very funny in her own way, and I'm trying to get some of that in the book to make it serve at least two purposes. One, to be a record of some of these things she's done, and it'll only be a fraction. You can't aspire to put a picture of every carving Minnie's made, even in a set of books, because there's just too many, and they're all around the country, and in some cases around the world. But this will be a retrospective on her career. I'm hoping that we get that out within the next year.
I very much look forward to that. Are you writing poems based on those photos, or?
No, I'm not particularly writing poems to go with this, although occasionally one, Mommy Goose, will get a web foot in there just a little bit. I'll give you an example. One of the carvings that's in the book, and I really like it, Minnie only did two in her whole career, is a big Humpty Dumpty. Of course, I like all the Mother Goose rhymes too. And this big Humpty Dumpty is standing on a wooden platform. And when I was working on editing that picture, Mommy Goose slipped in. Humpty Dumpty stood on a board. Humpty Dumpty fell on the floor. He got up just as good. Humpty Dumpty was made of wood.
I love it.
So there'll be a little of that. But this is mainly looking at Minnie's work and telling her stories.
So which one is your favorite poem in the book?
It kind of depends on which type. I like Waltzing with Elephant because it's different. It's a piece of writing. But I like Us and Them because of the way it came out. But the one I'll say for you is in the previous book, Ring Around the Moon. And that deals with, as I said, several themes in the book. Bullying, the might of language to change things, and kind of like Waltzing with Elephant. As I said before, when I grew up, anybody that looked a little different, sounded a little different, acted a little different was liable to get bullied. And this is about a young man who looked different because he was missing an eye. This is called One-Eyed Jack. When One-Eyed Jack came to school, his classmates called him One-Eyed Fool. But when the teacher gave a test, his mark was better than the rest. He thought that this would end the curse, but no. It only made it worse. And worst of all was Betty Lou, once number one, now number two. She'd make odd faces behind his back, then close an eye to make them laugh. When teacher said that faces weren't nice, she had hummed the tune to Three Blind Mice. And through it all, Jack sat in his chair, his cards kept close, like he didn't hear. It was like a wall she couldn't break through. Each time he did nothing, her anger grew. One day after school, she ran ahead. When Jack came by, she turned and said, "You think you're better on account of grades, but if you could, I know you'd trade. People act like they care for pencils and books. If they told the truth, they care more for looks. What you have one of, I have two. I'll always be that much more than you." Jack raised his head and made this reply. "That last you said I'll not deny, but I see this with my one eye. You'll cry twice more tears than me, and half the bad you see, I'll see. And when I close this eye and sleep, my dark to yours is just as deep. The thing I have that's over you is to see more kindly with one than two." She stood, not knowing what to say. His words had taken hers away. And all that night she lay in bed trying to hush the voice in her head. She kept to herself at school the next day, and when Jack was teased, had nothing to say. The others looked up to Betty Lou, and seeing she had stopped, they did too. The days grew frosty. Time wore its track. And school was just school, and Jack just Jack. He still had no friends and ate alone. But one day after the others had gone, she came to his table and looked in his face. and Jack moved over and made her a place. From that day on, they ate side by side, and soon others came to sit with pride. That year, she gave just one Valentine. It said, "Dear Jack, will you be mine?"
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I wish you best of luck with your creative projects, and I love this new book, and I love the poem that you read from, well, the poem that you said by heart from the previous book. I will see you at the festival.
I look forward to being there. Thank you, Katerina.